Tarion.
We do,
said Danastus. Shenri reared with an angry shriek as a rusted spear tip stabbed through her breastbone. The griff charger wrenched the weapon from its attacker's hands and flicked it aside before ripping off the luckless cultist's head. Still, Danastus's steed staggered as her foreclaws came back down.
And we do so quickly, before we lose our chance,
finished the Lord Aquila.
Understood, my lord, said Tarion.
Until we meet beyond the anvils,
cried Danastus, then drove forward into the enemy with a snarl. To his right, Forerunner took a thunderous axe blow to the midriff and toppled from his saddle, flashing into lightning before he even hit the floor. His charger screeched in fury and laid into the enemy, blood flying. Tarion soared upwards and turned for the beleaguered Sylvaneth.
Brothers, sisters, all who can, follow me and lend me your fury,
shouted Tarion as he flew. Rangers ran and leapt, braving the hungry abyss as they hurled themselves onto nearby gantries. Most of them made it, clanging along the rusted metal to flank the enemy warbands and charge towards the Sylvaneth position. Several Paladors windshifted in Tarion's wake, crackling away from their enemies and arcing upwards. Tarion looked up as a monstrous thrumming filled the air. He paled as he saw the vast bulk of Unghulgot's fly dragon swooping down towards him, its enormity blocking out the light from above. The drone of its many wings was so low that it shuddered in his chest, causing his broken ribs to jar painfully together. Tarion caught a glimpse of Unghulgot sitting high in his saddle, his yellow-eyed gaze imperious. Then the monster's overstuffed snout bulged and spread open like an obscene flower. A pressurized jet of digestive filth spewed forth. Tarion barrel-rolled desperately. Tucking his wings in, he dropped perilously close to the bridge and the massed warriors that fought upon it. The stinking jet missed him by inches, splattering instead across Rotbringers and Stormcast alike. Screams of agony rose amidst the sizzle of flesh and armour as the spew ate its way through everything it touched. A reeking backdraft buffeted Tarion as Unghulgot and his monster swept past. Tarion rose again, and saw with horror that Danastus and his warriors were gone, along with most of those they had fought and a good portion of the bridge itself. Grim-faced, he flew on, sweeping over the last few foes and dropping into the midst of the Sylvaneth circle. He slammed down next to the branch witch, who spun with a hiss and almost sank her sickle scythe into his neck.
"We're allies!" shouted Tarion. "We come to aid you, as the pact between our peoples demands."
He glanced about, recognizing these sinister Sylvaneth from his encounter atop the mountain crater. He saw the twisted branch wraith from High Crater Watch, who bared blood-slicked wooden fangs at him before plunging back into the fight with a shriek.
"Tarried late, have you?" spat the branch witch. "Too few of us remain for victory."
"Neve Blacktalon told us of you and your weapon," said Tarion. "You are with her, yes? You must invoke it now. We will willingly pay the price with our lives, if we must, to defeat this den of evil."
"I cannot invoke it here," said Wither. "To be sure of its effects, I must unleash it at a confluence of realm roots. One such site exists beneath the very heart of this fortress, knotted there to hold back the foulness of Unghulgot's fortress."
"Neve did not mention that," said Tarion.
"The girl child knows what she needs, and still she chose poorly. Do not presume to tell me how to cast my invocations, Stormling."
Tarion restrained his exasperation.
"There isn't time for this," he said. "You need to reach the dais, yes?"
"And remain undisturbed while the invocation takes place," said Wither. "The weapon will for scant moments be exposed. Should the Plague Lord come to claim it at that time, I could not protect it from him."
"I'll forge you a path. Together your warriors and I will hold Unghulgot off. Just swear to me that this weapon will work."
"On the life of the Ever Queen," I swear it will slaughter all, said Wither.
Tarion saluted, then launched himself straight up.
Be ready to go when the smoke clears, he shouted.
Before drawing out his star-fated arrow, Tarion could hear the lumbering drone of Ungholgot's fly dragon, sweeping back towards the fight, and could see the massed rotbringers who still hacked and stabbed and pressed relentlessly forward between the Sylvaneth and the dais. He felt with all his heart the desire to spin and send his assassin's arrow winging its way into Ungholgot's rotted heart. Neve had entrusted the hunt to him, and he had this one chance to finish it. Instead, Tarion drew back his bowstring and loosed the arrow straight into the midst of the tight-packed Rotbringers. It streaked down like a thunderbolt and struck a bloated abomination. The explosion of storm fury blew the monster apart in a red spray and rocked the bridge with its fury. Blackened corpses were hurled in all directions as the crackling blast expanded outwards, scorching dozens of Nurgle worshippers to death, and hurling countless more from their feet into the abyss below. The next instant, the fly dragon's talons hit Tarion from behind like a battering ram. Pain exploded within him as he was flung through the air. He heard Crean's dismayed screech as though from far away, then felt a crushing impact as his face met the stone of the dais. Tarion skidded, trailing blood and shattered wing crystals, until he came to a stop near the dais's heart. Vision graying, Tarion tried to push himself up, but couldn't. He craned his head and let it fall back with a groan as he saw the mangled ruin of his torso spilling blood across the stones. Smoke billowed, and through it moved angular shapes, their strides sinister and their eyes glowing blue. Somewhere above him, Tarion could hear the monstrous drone of the fly dragon's wings, but the beast had passed overhead, and its sheer bulk and momentum meant it would take precious moments to turn and sweep back in on the attack. A figure stopped, looming over Tarion, chanting jagged words in a strange tongue. He blinked up at Wither, as she stared impassively down at him. Tarion's pupils flicked to the glowing cylinder she held aloft, the acidic green light that pulsed faster and faster from within. The ethereal illumination strobed through the smoke, making the world flash grey and green, and a terrible whining sound filled the air, causing Tarion's teeth to itch. Blue sparks lit the air as they crackled to life, billowing like fireflies and swirling faster and faster. Wither's chant rose to fever pitch, even as the monstrous roar of the fly's wings filled the world with thunder.
"Hold it back!"
he heard a voice screaming, and another,
"Turn away, foul beast! Turn away!"
"Neve, let Neve get..."
Tarion's eyes fluttered shut. There was a flash, then he knew no more. Chapter 16.
"Daylight ahead!" yelled Catalia.
"I see it," said Neve, piling on as much speed as she dared. The fortress was shaking around them, its living corridors convulsing and its chambers groaning as though trying to tear themselves apart. Cultists dashed in panicked masses and skaven scattered in all directions. Neve vaulted a brass railing and dropped 20 feet, Cat's scream following her down. She hit the ground running, weaving past a rampaging abomination whose flailing tentacles smashed Skaven and Rotbringers through the air. The chamber was some sort of entrance hall, lit by sickly green braziers atop columns of maggot-riddled bone. Tattered banners hung down its walls, showing scenes of corruption and of Nurgle the plague god ascendant. Nurgle would not approve of the mad panic that now gripped his servants, Neve thought, as she passed dashing chaos worshippers. Ahead was a cavernous doorway that looked for all the world like the rotted jaw of some huge monster, and was studded with rolling yellow eyes the size of cannonballs. Beyond its noisome arch, Neve saw the swamp, and beyond that, the forest. A terrible note was rising behind her, felt as much as heard,
and blue motes billowed past her as though borne on some invisible updraft. Despite all that had transpired, the sight still filled her with cloying fear for her sanity.
"You see those two? Yes?" she said as she ran.
"The blue fire! I see it!" said Catalia. "Is it the weapon?"
"It must be," said Neve.
Ahead, a band of especially brave or foolhardy Blightlords turned and tried to block her path. Neve leapt, sailing over their heads and landing in full sprint, their roars of anger chasing her towards the light. The keening grew louder by the second, and Neve felt a wetness on her upper lip that she knew must be blood. Catalia was moaning with pain, her fingers crabbing and clawing at Neve's neck, where she strove to hold on. Screams rose behind them, cries of agony too terrible to bear. Neve didn't dare glance back. There was no time. Crimson tinged her vision, and she felt blood burst from between her lips on her next breath.
"Neve!"
screamed Catalia. The keening rose to fever pitch, and sounds of destruction rolled up behind them like a wave. The doorway was too far. They weren't going to make it. One chance. "Catalia, shut your eyes and breathe out as hard as you can. You must trust me," she shouted, hoping that the tribes girl heard and understood, hoping even more fervently that what she was about to do wouldn't leave Catalia in her wake, or even worse, kill her. She took three more paces, then wind-shifted in a storm of arcing light. Reality blurred, rushing past like storm clouds in a hurricane. There came a crack of overpressure as Neve slammed back into full physical form and fell into the swamp water on her hands and knees. She felt Catalia's weight detached from her shoulders as the girl was flung bonelessly over her head. Cat hit the water with a splash and vanished beneath the surface.
"Sigma's hammer, no!"
snarled Neve, scrambling forward and plunging her arms into the mire. She felt Catalia's submerged form and dragged her to the surface, cradling the girl to her chest as swamp water streamed off her. Catalia's eyes were shut, her face pale, her chest unmoving. Her hair drifted like some strange halo, where the wind shift had bathed her in the lightning of the heavens. Sparks crawled over her skin, slowly fading.
"Breathe, girl, breathe," urged Neve.
Her throat tightened, and pain filled her chest as Catalia hung, seeming small and forlorn, in her arms. Neve held her tight against her breast and fought back a cry of rage. The ground trembled more violently beneath them, and the screaming crescendo rose at Neve's back. Flickering jade lightning lit the swamp and made the tree line dance with monstrous shadows. Blue sparks whirled over her like a blizzard, clinging to the metal of Catalia's vambraces and the sigmarite of Neve's armour. Neve twisted herself, shielding Catalia's body with her own, as she stared back over her shoulder at the cataclysmic effects of Wither's weapon. Unghulgot's fortress shuddered and bulged, venomous green light pouring from every window and doorway, every rent, split and crack. Segments of stonework and bloated flesh blew out in violent green fireballs, raining debris across the swamp. Chaos worshippers spilled from the fortress's innards in profusion, yet they were too close, had fled too late. Even as Neve watched their bodies twisted and contorted as the light caressed them, and their vital fluids jetted from them in a shocking mass exsanguination that tainted the swamp water's crimson. Unghulgot's fortress sagged, collapsing in upon itself. It twisted and changed, as though one last burst of excess life caused it to mutate into new, unnatural forms. So savage was the glare that Neve could see precious little besides warped silhouettes. Then even those vanished as the emerald supernova expanded to fill the world. Neve cried out, but couldn't hear herself over the weapon's blast. Green light bathed her and Catalia, jade tendrils racing across armour and flesh. For a second, Neve feared that she still hadn't got herself or her friend far enough away. But then, at last, the light faded, and the shrill wail dropped away. The last blue embers fell like flurries of snow, vanishing as suddenly as they had come. The tides of the swamp subsided, and a monstrous silence came crashing in to smother everything. Neve shook with shock and adrenaline, so much so that it took her several moments to realize that the movement she felt was not all her own. She looked down with a gasp to see Catalius there. The girl groaned. Jade light still radiated from her vambraces, though it was slowly fading, along with the last few blue sparks.
"Cat, can you hear me?"
asked Neve gently. Catalia responded by coughing up a mouthful of swamp water as her eyes opened blearily. She turned her head, and the Stormcast Eternal supported her as the girl threw up what looked like half the swamp. At last, Catalia's convulsions subsided, and she fell back in Neve's arms, pale and shaking.
"Did we die?"
she asked, and Neve couldn't stifle a laugh of pure relief.
"No, Cat. We made it," she said. "What did you do?"
asked Catalia.
"In the end, when we..."
She gestured weakly. "I wind-shifted. It is a process by which we of the Vanguard Chambers can..."
"I don't care about the finer details," said Catalia. "Just don't ever do that to me again."
Neve snorted and rose to her feet, helping Catalia stand with her.
"What about the Swamp King?"
asked Catalia. She looked back to where Ungholgot's fortress had once stood above the swamps. Swirling smoke and billowing jade mist hid its ruin, spreading gradually outwards, but the cadaverous remains of spires and towers could be seen, jutting up at crazed angles through the haze. "Dead, along with all his followers, and all of my comrades, I would think," said Neve. She was awed and horrified by the power that Wither had unleashed, her blood running chill at the sight of it. "I never imagined the Sylvaneth had something this destructive in their possession. And for it to be Dreadwood, of all the glades..." "I have to return to Azir at once, Cat. My superiors need to be warned of this."
"The forest spirits are your allies, aren't they?"
asked Catalia. "In name, at least. But you of all people know better than to trust such capricious beings."
"I never trusted them to start with."
"Then you're wiser than I," breathed Neve. She still felt within herself that wordless trust of Wither and her clan. But now it felt artificial, like something pinned to her heart, not born from within it. If she hadn't seen the cracks in Wither's facade, hadn't witnessed this apocalyptic aftermath, then Neve wasn't sure she would have been able to make the distinction. But now, she both mistrusted and yet trusted Wither in equal measure. The two feelings clashed like storm fronts within her chest.
"It should have been us that killed the Swamp King, not them," said Catalia. "But I am glad that he is dead. My tribe have some vengeance, at least."
"They would be proud of your efforts," said Neve. Catalia pulled a face.
"They are dead, and the dead know nothing."
Then, after an awkward pause, she added quietly,
"But thank you."
Neve rested one hand on Catalia's shoulder. "You should call Keto back. We must depart swiftly."
"He finds me. I don't call him," said Catalia, frowning. "Keto knows when he is needed. Meantime, you don't want to look for survivors?"
"The Shadowhammers will have been at the very center of that catastrophe, mark my words. I'll see them again beyond the anvils." "No. The only thing that might have survived, that we just witnessed, is Wither,"
and whatever remains of her clan.
Why would she do this?
Asked Catalia, sounding indignant.
You fought for her. The Swamp King is dead.
We've seen what her weapon can do far better than those caught in the blast will have, said Neve. She may not want that information spread further abroad. The Dreadwood are jealous with their secrets, and while we live freely, we are a threat to them.
She did not seem good in here, said Catalia,
thumping herself in the chest.
You think she would try to kill you?
I defied her. I don't think Wither will forgive me for that, said Neve. I wouldn't put it past her to try as to seize me, imprison me, and bring me to heel again, as they did in my past life.
They could try, said Catalia fiercely.
They could, agreed Neve. There would be bloodshed whichever of us prevailed. But for now, there has been enough of that. I'm going to return to Azir, and I want you to come with me. Catalia blinked at her.
Why would I journey to the heavens? She asked. The Swamp King is dead now. My homelands are safer than they have been in many years.
And yet, what is there for you here? Asked Neve. I don't mean to be cruel, but you're the last of your people.
Another tribe will take me in, said Catalia,
but Neve could hear the doubt in her voice. She stared off into the jade fog banks that rolled steadily closer. Her vision was unfocused, her mind clearly lost in thought. They might, if they don't choose instead to strike you down and steal your things. And if they did, what if they worship the dark gods? Many do, even if they don't realize it.
I would know now. I have fought and bested the servants of Nurgle.
Yes, you have, said Neve, which is exactly why I feel you have more to give than simply returning to a life of hunting and surviving. I swore to protect you, Catalia, but if you return to the life of the tribes, I can no longer hold to that vow. I can no longer fight at your side.
I don't need you to protect me.
I don't wish to be your protector, said Neve. But your comrade? Your friend? That I would be in a heartbeat. If you return to Azir, I swear to you that I will find a place for you amongst the armies of reconquest. You would be able to take the fight to the dark gods, instead of simply running and hiding from them for the rest of your days. Catalia drew breath to reply, but at that moment Neve's eyes narrowed as a vibration passed through the air at her back, and a ghost of a feculent stench tickled her nostrils. She threw herself at Catalia and tackled her into the mire, even as a dark shape rose up through the mist. A jet of sizzling filth shot overhead, missing Neve and Catalia by less than a foot and raising steam where it splattered into the water. Neve came up with her axes in hand, spinning to face their attacker. Her eyes widened at the monstrous sight that greeted her. Mangled and broken, Lord Unghulgot's fly dragon reared up and beat the air with its chitinous forelimbs. Stinking smog rolled away from it, tattering apart as Unghulgot's warding enchantment dissipated. Neve could hear the thrumming roar of the monster's tattered wings as they tried and failed to bear it into the air. Lord Unghulgot leaned around his steed's neck, eyes crazed. Both he and the fly dragon were sorely wounded, their flesh marred with burns and weird fungal growths, and Neve surmised from the cuts and crystal shards that lacerated them that rider and steed must have been forced to burst through a window to escape Wither's weapon.
You, roared Unghulgot, you brought the stump and her filthy thorns into my fastness. You have sullied my slab with your disgusting purity. You should have been my prize to dissect. You still will be.
I've hunted you a long time, Lord Unghulgot, said Neve, gesturing at Catalia to flee. The tribes girl ignored her, instead clashing her vambraces together in readiness.
And yet I don't even know what manner of beast you are, you pathetic maggot, spat Unghulgot. But I know what you will be. I require a new fortress, Stormcast, and the furnace of energy that I sense within you will be its seed.
Neve felt sick as she remembered the foul biological feel of Angholgot's fastness, the pain and madness she had sensed through its walls. She had no intention of ending her days in the grip of such a disgusting curse.
"Your empire is in ruins, and your army slaughtered," she said. "The filth of your magics will wash away from this swamp, and the life of Gairan will come again to purify what remains. But you won't live long enough to see it, Angholgot, because I am Sigmar's huntress, and you have long been my mark."
"You are a clopsome little clot. You'll beg for death before the end."
Angholgot leveled his staff and hawked up an incantation, spitting it into the air like phlegm. Filthy light leapt from his weapon, and Neve hurled herself aside. She rolled up onto her feet as the swamp exploded with diseased slime behind her. The fly dragon loomed over her, its hide oozing from jagged cracks, its snout splayed wide. Neve charged. The monster spat another stream of filth at her, and she leapt high, spinning in the air with her arms tucked tight to her chest. Neve spiraled over the jet of acid and came down upon the fly dragon's head with her axes swinging. She rained an avalanche of blows upon the monster's face, staving in one of its compound eyes, hacking away a bloody mass of snout flesh, and severing the disgusting tendrils of its sense pits. She planted one foot upon the thing's leprous muzzle and kicked hard, back-flipping away through the air and narrowly evading the swipe of the fly dragon's huge talons. The monster reared, beating its mangled wings in a frenzy of pain. Filthy sludge sprayed from its savaged face, and Angholgot roared in anger. He spat another incantation, forming its vomitous words even as he clung to the pommel of his saddle. The swamp water around Neve bubbled in sudden frenzy. Before she could leap clear, rotting limbs burst from the surface. Talons wrapped themselves around her legs and held on with unnatural strength, pinning Neve in place. Angholgot leered madly at her and heaved an impossibly deep breath, his chest bloating like a toad's throat sac until she thought he must burst. Yellow pus squeezed from his paws as he expanded, dark veins standing out like ropes beneath his straining skin. Angholgot opened his mouth impossibly wide and belched forth a rancid stream of slime and squirming maggots. Neve had time to suck in a breath and screw her eyes shut before the blood-warm tide of slurry hit her full in the face. She felt it searing her skin, flowing through the gaps in her armour, battering her in a relentless torrent that must surely drown her the moment she tried to breathe. Neve fought furiously against the limbs that trapped her legs, but their grip was like iron, and with the unbearable pressure of the filth tide hammering her, it was all she could do to hang on to her axes, let alone swing them. Dimly, she heard the clash of metal, then a sudden choking roar of anger. The torrent abated, leaving Neve drenched in steaming filth, her skin burning and her armour creaking as rust crept across it. With a scream of revulsion, Neve swung her axes low and hacked away the hands that clung to her legs, then took several running steps and hurled herself into the swamp water. The thought that such stagnant slime could be cleansing would have made her laugh an hour earlier. Now anything that sluiced Angholgot's filth from her could only be a blessing. Neve exploded from the water with a roar of anger, sludge pouring from her battered Sigmarite armour. She was in time to see Angholgot also rising from the mire, one side of his face caved in and gouting blood. His fly dragon loomed over Catalia, who stood defiant, jade energies crackling from her vambraces. She must have blasted Angholgot with those magics. Catalia had likely saved her life, but now her own was in mortal danger.
"I defy you, Swamp King!" bellowed Catalia. "I am the last of the Morn tribe, and I defy you and your filthy god!"
The fly dragon lumbered forward, dragging its mangled abdomen behind it. It lunged, and Catalia fell back with a cry of alarm.
She sent a desperate pulse of life magics at the monster, driving it back a few paces, but it rallied quickly and reared up to drop its massive bulk upon her. Neve broke into a headlong sprint. She streaked through the swamp and threw herself into a leap, bringing both axes high and whipping them back down like Sigmar's own hammer. The blades bit home, crashing through the fly dragon's temple and driving deep into its skull. Diseased slime exploded, grey, snotty filth that sprayed in strings through the air as the fly dragon's head was torn sideways and driven into the mire. Neve rode it down, driving her foot into the beast's unwounded eye and tearing her axes loose before hacking down again and again. More filth sprayed, and the monster's limbs convulsed, and it tried desperately to escape its tormentor. Neve heard Unghulgot bellow in outrage and leapt clear as bolts of yellow magic tore through the air towards her. Neve splashed down yards clear and looked back in satisfaction as the fly dragon convulsed its last. Her fierce grin turned to horror as she saw Catalia running headlong at Unghulgot.
"You will pay for the deaths of my people!"
shouted the tribes girl, jade light gathering in a storm around her vambraces.
"Catalia! Sigmar's hammer, no! Get back!"
yelled Neve.
"He cannot hurt me!" shouted Catalia. "His filthy plague magic cannot get past my vambraces! I smashed his skull, and now I will kill him for my tribe! For Sigmar!"
Neve accelerated towards Catalia in the hopes of knocking her aside again. With a plunging sense of horror, she realized she would be too late. Unghulgot brandished his staff with a sneer and sent a bolt of light straight at Catalia. The tribes girl threw up her arms confidently, crossing them before her face. They had warded away the drifting plagues of Unghulgot's fortress. They had given Catalia the strength to wound the foul despot responsible for the deaths of her tribe. Yet against the full, sorcerous might of Unghulgot's fury, they were not nearly enough. Time slowed to a crawl for Neve, as she saw leprous energies crawl across Catalia's skin, abrading it away a layer at a time. Pustules rose and burst upon Catalia's flesh, even as the kinetic impact of the spell blast rippled through her body, shattering bones and lifting her from her feet. Neve's razor-sharp senses were merciless, forcing her to see how one of Catalia's eyes turned cataract white in the instant before it burst in its socket. How the hair on that side of her face turned grey and fell away like dead straw. How a spray of bile and instantly rotted teeth exploded from the girl's broken jaw to patter into the swamp. Catalia flew through the air and splashed down in an untidy tangle of limbs. She fetched up half-submerged in slime, looking for all the world like a plague victim's corpse.
"Cat!"
screamed Neve. Every instinct howled at her to rush to her friend's side, to haul her from the water. But she knew that if she did that, Unghulgot would finish them both. Catalia lived, or she did not. The only way Neve might uphold her oath and save the tribes girl now was to slay her mark swiftly and mercilessly.
"One worm crushed," roared Unghulgot. "And now for the other."
He turned to Neve and raised his staff. Several hundred yards separated them, wisps of green mist drifting across the open gap upon the breeze. A stillness pressed in upon the scene, and Neve narrowed her eyes. "I'm not the worm, Unghulgot. I'm a wolf," said Neve. "And this is the end of my hunt."
"Yes, it is,"
leered the Chaos Sorcerer.
"Now come to me. Let me unpick your flesh."
Neve broke into a sprint.
"Ngakor, Guhurul, Pustol, Khori,"
roared Unghulgot, blood spraying from his lips as he uttered the unholy words. Chaos energies swelled into a storm, and plague flies boiled from the tip of his stave. Neve charged headlong into their midst before wind-shifting with a twitch of supernatural muscles. Flies fell crisped from the air, and the cloud exploded as gale-force winds tore through them. Neve recorporealized in time to weave aside from a hurtling bone spear. Three more projectiles flew at her, conjured from thin air by Unghulgot's sorceries. She leapt clear of one, wove aside from a second, and grunted with pain as the third punched through her ribs and burst from her back. Unghulgot's cry of triumph curdled as Neve kept coming, closing the gap with incredible speed. Desperate, Unghulgot spat another incantation and summoned lambent green light around his staff. Neve didn't wait to see what fresh horrors the sorcerer was conjuring. Leaping and turning in midair, she swung her axes and let them fly. The two weapons spun through the air, end over end, and slammed home with fleshy thumps. The first caved in Unghulgot's chest. The second bisected his face, leaving one shocked yellow eye bulging on either side of the axe blade. Neve landed and kept running, crossing the gap as Lord Unghulgot staggered. She grabbed the hafts of her axes and wrenched them free, trailing rancid fluids and flailing maggots. Croaked Unghulgot, split jaw chewing the air, staff falling from his nerveless hands. I have executed many monsters, Lord Unghulgot, said Neve. Let your last thought be that you are not special, not chosen, not near as mighty as you believed. You are just another corpse who couldn't escape me. She spun, levelling a mighty backhand blow at Unghulgot's neck and striking his head from his shoulders. Its two halves flew through the air and splatted down into the swamp, moments before his body crumpled and began to dissolve into rank slurry. Certain her mark was slain, Neve was already streaking back across the swamp to where Catalia lay. She dropped to her knees next to the girl's prone form for the second time in less than an hour, and hauled her from the mire again. Catalia's skin was ravaged, sloughing away from the left side of her face until yellowing bone was revealed. Boils had broken out across her body, and her flesh was pale and sweating. The tribes girl was shaking with fever, burning hot to the touch, and unconscious. Her breath rattled in and out, phlegm thick and laboured. Neve looked to the heavens, her stare accusing.
I offered my prayers, Neve roared. I asked you to take me, not her. I would have given my life in a heartbeat to see your will done. I asked only that you gave me the strength to watch over her. Sigmar, why should they suffer in our place? Haven't they suffered enough?
Her words echoed away across the swamp, falling dead amongst the mists. If Neve's god heard her furious words, he sent no sign. Something large moved in Neve's peripheral vision, and she turned as best she could, shielding Catalia and brandishing an axe. She stopped and breathed out slowly as she saw the familiar shape of Keto looming over her. The Tatakan's antennae batted her gently aside and caressed Catalia's desolated face with obvious concern. He made a mournful rattle deep in his thorax and stamped his feet in the swamp water. Neve's heart almost broke to see the sorrow so clear in the huge beast's movements. The way he brushed gently and insistently at his mistress's face, as though trying without success to wake her. Neve shook her head, desperately relieved to see the huge insect.
She's hurt, Keto. Terribly so, said Neve. She has been cursed by dark sorcery, and I suspect only the magic in her vambraces is keeping Nurgle's foulness from consuming her utterly. I don't know if you understand the tongues of humans, but we have to get her back to Azir at once. If she is to stand any hope of survival, we have to get her to the healers in Sigmaron.
Keto gave a low rattle and stomped carefully closer, lowering himself part way into the mire. Neve lifted Catalia easily in her arms, draping her over her saddle and securing her carefully with its leather straps. The girl felt so light, like a bundle of twigs. Every glance at the ruin of her features hurt Neve's heart. She couldn't see how Catalia would survive the hour, let alone cling to life long enough to reach the realm of heavens. A detached part of Neve's mind wondered if the guardians of that most holy of realms would even let Catalia through its gates, seeing the unnatural sickness that roiled within her. Yet she had to try, even if it seemed hopeless. "How could I do any less?" she asked, giving Catalia's hand a gentle squeeze. The bones of her fingers felt shockingly brittle.
"If nothing else, I will see you buried with all the honour you deserve, my friend."
She consulted her astral compass, narrowing her eyes and staring up at the heavens, half visible through the green murk.
2 days north of here, that's the nearest gate," said Neve. "And that's moving fast. I hope you're ready for a journey, Keto. Your mistress's life depends upon it."
The Tatakan stamped its legs and cocked its head. Neve took a deep breath and looked back to where the ruins of Lord Angholgot's fortress were collapsing slowly into the mire.
"She beat you," she hissed. "Even as her life ebbs, you cannot take that from her. She beat you."
Neve missed Tarion sorely in that moment, needed so badly to hear his voice that it was like a physical pain. But it would have to wait. He had his reforging to endure, and she had another race ahead of her. She checked that Catalia still breathed, that she was secured as painlessly and carefully as she could be. Some part of Neve knew that Catalia was going to die, knew it with the same certainty with which she sensed her marks. Yet giving up wasn't in Neve's nature.
"I will bear you to the heavens, Catalia Morn," she said.
With that, Neve set off at a run across the desolate swamplands, and Keto followed. The swamp waters parted before them, then drifted slowly back to stillness in their wake.
Chapter 17.
What was it like? Neve glanced at Tarion, noting again the new lines that marked his face, the faraway look in his blue eyes.
"It was death," said Tarion. "As it always is. Confusion and violence and death."
The two of them sat atop one of the Thunderpeak's highest ledges, clad in robes and cloaks. Their legs hung over the drop, the fortress's craggy flanks and jutting battlements spreading away below them, until they reached the verdant plains of Azir far below. The star Sigindil hung high above in a warm evening sky, the first of the night stars just beginning to join it as the day stars faded. A platter of meat, fruit and cheese sat between Neve and Tarion, mostly untouched. The pitcher of wine beside it was all but empty, though. "What do you remember of the weapon, I mean?" said Neve.
"You had better opportunity to see it at work than I," said Tarion. "By the time the damn thing fired, I was somewhat mortally challenged."
"It was monstrous," said Neve. "I had no chance to see its effects up close, but..."
"But it destroyed everything in its reach," said Tarion.
"You, them, the fortress?"
"Though it didn't annihilate Angholgot," replied Tarion with a humorless laugh. "That was left to Sigmar's huntress."
"I did not fell him swiftly enough," said Neve, her expression grim.
"You did everything you could for Catalia. You told me that you commanded her to flee, but that she stood and fought alongside you to the end. She felt loyalty to you, Neve. Friendship."
"She paid for it. A price she never should have had to. I should have been faster. I should have done more."
"Your oath isn't broken yet," said Tarion, placing his hand on her shoulder in the old familiar gesture.
"She was... is strong, said Neve.
Too stubborn to accept death. I wonder where she learned that.
Death may yet take her anyway. I wanted to stay by her side, but... Neve trailed off hopelessly, gesturing down at the Thunder Peak.
Duty, said Tarion.
Neve nodded once. The last I saw of her, the healers were doing everything in their power, but they had few good words to say. The sicknesses that burn in Catalia's blood are unnatural, and the damage done to her body by that curse. Even if by some miracle she survives, she will never be who she was. She will never live the life she could have lived.
You cannot blame yourself, said Tarion.
I do, and I do not, said Neve, casting a cold glance up towards the light of Sigindil. There are others who have failed her also.
She has the best apothecaries watching over her. Better yet, she has a sister of the sacrosanct chambers at her side, working to unmake Unghulgot's curses.
Working to understand Catalia's vambraces, you mean? Said Neve.
You cannot blame them for that. Any weapon we can use to fight the legions of chaos. Well, perhaps not any weapon. Do you think Wither will use it again?
If it can be invoked more than once, I don't doubt it for a second, said Neve. Wouldn't you, in her place? Clan Thyrgael lost a lot of souls to Unghulgot's cruelty, and the Dreadwood are hardly the most forgiving of Alariel's children. I just hope she can be located, and the threat can be managed before she uses it somewhere unfortunate.
More unfortunate than wiping out a chamber of Stormcast Eternals, you mean?
Asked Tarion, arching an eyebrow. You know exactly what I mean, Tarion.
At least we can return from death. Not all of us, said Tarion ruefully. So many slain in such a brief moment. I heard, at the last count, we lost 8 souls in the reforging. Gone forever.
Perhaps they were the lucky ones, said Neve in a low voice.
Tarion acted as though he had not heard, instead changing the subject.
You still seem oddly reluctant to speak ill of Wither and her brood, despite all they put you through, and all they did to you in your life before, he said.
Neve stayed silent, staring out towards where the light of Hish dropped slowly below the horizon. The purple and gold of evening spread fingers across the plains and farmlands, turning towers and windmills to stark silhouettes and throwing long shadows across the land.
Was there more to this? Asked Neve. I mean, I'm free of the visions now, and I'm thankful for that. Unghulgot is dead, his threat ended, and the penance I've to serve for my actions
is remarkably lenient, said Tarion.
It seems as though annihilating a grand chaos warlord and his kingdom-conquering army won you a bit of leeway with the Lord Aquila. Though I sense he will watch you closely for a while. I still believe you should have been transparent with him from the beginning.
But is that it? Is the matter done? Why does it feel like we missed something? Like I missed something?
You suspect some greater machination?
Don't you? There was too much coincidence here. Too many loose ends I can't tie together. Like, where did the Sylvaneth acquire that weapon of theirs? Who from? And who used it before? Why did Wither's summons reach me just in the nick of time? Sigmar's hammer, I mean, we still don't know why the damned Gorkin were able to overrun Fort Vigilance in the first place, or what Zelkin had to do with it, if anything at all. Was that connected to all this? I owe it to Catalia to answer these questions, or her sacrifice may yet be for naught.
Neve, it's been a tangled time. Plus, you've been through more than most of us, dying aside, said Tarion. Your worry for the tribes girl consumes you. Anyone can see that. There's a chance you might be seeing shadows where there are none, links where no link exists. Some things simply happen, no matter how dreadful they are. And as warriors of Sigmar, it is our duty to respond, to defeat threats as they arise, and to bear the pain of our losses with all the stoicism and strength that Sigmar chose for us in the first place. He took a swig of wine, went to refill his goblet, and pulled a sour face as he drizzled the last dregs from the pitcher.
"Let wiser minds than ours worry about the big picture, then?" asked Niamh, frowning. "It is not like you to bury your head in the sand. We're hunters. We should seek and question. We should hunt, whether it's for a mark or a foe or the truth."
"And we will," said Tarion. "I'm just saying, there's a war to fight that eclipses all others, and enemies beyond number for us to face. Sigmar will have a new mark for you soon enough, and then the hunt will begin again, and again, and again, until at last the mortal realms are freed from the grip of the dark gods. We may well have centuries of war ahead of us, Black Talon. For all our sakes, don't start looking for hidden enemies, where so many stand proud and ugly before us."
Niamh sipped her own wine, then plucked a loon fruit from the platter. She considered biting into it, but the image rose unbidden in her mind of Catalia, a huddled and hopeless little shape beneath a blanket in a healer's chamber, Keto lying mournfully at the door. Niamh dropped the fruit back into the bowl, her appetite turned to ashes. She stared out into the spreading gloom, the dying sunset reflecting in her eyes. The storm clouds that hung ever above the fortress rumbled, and the lightning crackled through them. Rain threatened. "If it's all the same to you, I'll keep my eyes open and my ear to the ground."
"Of course you will," said Tarion. "Now come on, it's getting cold up here and I'm out of wine. We'll be at war again soon enough. Let's go and find a little cheer while there's some to be had."
He paused, watching Niamh intently.
"She wouldn't want you to cut yourself off in sorrow, my friend."
Niamh offered Tarion the ghost of a smile, though it was tinged with sadness. They gathered up the remains of their meal. Niamh shot a last look at the shadows, swallowing the Azurite plains. And for a moment, the image of dark branches and intertwined talons rose unbidden in her mind. She dismissed it with a shake of her head and turned, following Tarion down the stone steps and into the lit archway atop the Thunder Peak. The warm light welcomed her across the threshold, and the darkness was left beyond.
Epilogue. Elsewhere, far away from light and warmth and civilization, Wither stood in absolute darkness. She felt the immensity of the cavern through the stirring of the cold air, heard it in the distant echo and drip of water. Above her, she sensed realm roots spreading across the cavern's ceiling in such profusion that their massed power overwhelmed her magical senses and left her dumbfounded and humbled. It felt as though an endless web of life magic spread overhead. Not yet a single pulse of light escaped them. These roots were as night black as the cavern in which they grew. They were writhing strands of shadow and darkness that caused even Wither to feel the unfamiliar gnaw of fear. Somewhere ahead of her, something huge stirred in the gloom. Blue whirls shimmered momentarily. Eyes like cold stars flashed in the darkness. A voice reached her through the air, and the spirit's song intertwined. It rumbled through the cave like tectonic plates shifting, even as it filled the spirit's song with a swelling symphony so beautiful and terrible that it drove Wither to her knees.
"It worked, then."
"It did,"
she replied, trying to keep the tremor of fear from her voice.
"But the child diverged."
It was not a question.
"She was led from the path by a chance encounter," said Wither. "But
Our mark upon her heart remains. When the hour comes, she will stand ready to play her part.
Of course, came the reply. It has been foreseen, and so shall it be. You will make sure of this.
Indeed, replied Wither, sap running hot and cold as the eyes flashed in the darkness again, and an ominous sense of power and danger crept across her.
My girl will sing her part in the symphony, and the lyre gods will topple from their thrones. We will be safe at last.
We will, rumbled the voice. Go, then, and do your part. Do not permit any further divergence.
At once, said Wither. Thank you, my liege.
She rose on shaking legs and hastened away through the darkness, trying to control her terror and her relief. As she retreated, she heard something vast shift in the darkness behind her and felt glad beyond words that she was leaving its presence again. Wither had feared that Neve's willfulness, her reluctance to walk the path laid for her, might be the scheme's undoing. Instead, Wither had another chance to make sure the symphony played out as it should. She would make sure of it, no matter what horrors must be wrought, no matter how much blood must be shed.
That was Black Talon First Mark by Andy Clark, read by Emma Gregory.
This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2018.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.